You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. This evening, I'm excited to get to preach to you guys. And I know I have ministered along these lines before, but there was something that kind of came alive to me. In fact, I was in class this last Sunday morning service, and Amanda's been teaching, I guess, in the book of Hebrews. And they were on Hebrews 13, and there was a passage of scripture in there that just, man, just really came alive to me. And you know, that's how God is. You gotta read the word and read the word and read the word. It's a passage of scripture I've heard 1,000 times. And just for whatever reason, that moment, it just kind of jumped at me. And so I want to minister along those lines this evening. And I tell you what, we'll just turn there to begin, just to kind of jump off in Hebrews 13. And it wasn't even really, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing that Amanda said about Hebrews here. You know, we're not really sure who the writer of Hebrews is. We think it might have been Paul. And if it was Paul, the writing is similar to some of his other works, some of his other letters that he wrote. And so that's why they think it could have been him as well. But there's just some things that Paul did kind of at the end of some of his letters. And if it was him that did this, or whoever the writer was of Hebrews, for that matter, they threw this chapter in here, and it's just the way Amanda preaches or teaches. She teaches as fast as she can talk, gets as much information out as she can, and it's all good. But I mean, I'm like, it's okay, slow down, slow down. And it's just, that's kind of what this did. I mean, you know, he goes here, he talks about brotherly love, he talks about remembering the prisoners, and chains, and marriage, and God's never going to leave or forsake you. Remember those that rule over you, your bosses, your ministers over you, and talks about all kinds of stuff. And talks about sacrificing, of Jesus and all those things. And it gets down, I mean, just kind of packs all this stuff in here. And it gets down to, I guess it's verse 15. In verse 15 it says, "Therefore by him," talking about Jesus, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And it's something that just kind of jumped at me whenever I was reading this. And we've talked, I mean, different, you know, we've hit this from all angles. Different messages have been preached along these lines. I'm just going to tie several messages together here, hopefully. And we'll try to make some sense of this, I guess. But the fruit of our lips giving thanks. That jumped at me when I saw the fruit of our lips giving thanks. You know, what causes fruit to grow? Seeds. You know, there's something that has to be planted for there to be a fruit produced. And so, kind of in a real quick summary here, you know, obviously there's got to be something on the inside of us for our mouths to speak something that's got good fruit. Now, if good fruit's got to come out, then there's got to be good seed from where the mouth speaks from. How many know where the mouth speaks from? Out of the abundance of the heart. Matthew 12 talks about, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, if we're going to offer a sacrifice of praise, Kay Galloway was our children's church, leader for a long time, years and years. And growing up, she was actually my Sunday school teacher, class teacher, and then children's church and all that. One thing she used to always say, she told her boys this all the time. In fact, she could say, "And what is it that I always say, Joe?" And Joe would say, "Garbage in, garbage out." You know, garbage in, garbage out. Well, God's word in, God's word out. And so for your mouth to produce good fruit, there's got to be good word on the inside of you. You've got to hear good things so that you've got that on the inside of you to come out. And it's just something that came alive to me. And that was just, you know, the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice, our lips giving thanks and our lips giving praise. Praise and worship is what I do. So that's always kind of in the back of my mind when I, not that I always minister on that, but that's something I have ministered on before. But praise and worship is so important. It's so key in our lives. And it's not just something that we want to do when we come to church. You know, it's not something you want to do on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. In Psalm 118:24, it talks about how that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And it's a choice. We make the choice to rejoice. Everybody say that. I make the choice to rejoice. So it is your choice, and it is something that you have to do. And it is a sacrifice at times, is it not? Can anybody concur with that, you know, on that? It is a sacrifice sometimes to rejoice and to be happy and to smile and say, God's going to make me, you know, make me come through this. God's going to help me and deliver me and bring me out of this. And it's not always easy. Although if you'll start doing it, it really is easy. But, you know, the way of the world would be that, you know, whenever you're having a down day or you're just not feeling good or whatever it may be, you know, that the devil's attacking you. The way of the world is, and the easy way out, is to just moan and groan and murmur and complain and gripe, you know. And so whenever you get in those situations and you do give thanks to God and you do give praise to God that He's going to deliver you, He's going to bring you out of that, then it is a sacrifice, is it not? It is a sacrifice. So, you know, we need to make the choice, like it says, this is the day. Well, tomorrow when you get to that day, isn't it this is the day again? Yeah. And then the next day, you know, you hear the old thing, you know, tomorrow will never come because when tomorrow gets there, it will be today, right? And I heard something, a line that said something about yesterday is the past, tomorrow is the future, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Yeah, so anyway. That's why they call it, you know, today. It's a present. It's a gift. Anyway, but today is always today. And then tomorrow it'll be today again. And so when you wake up in the morning, you can say, this is the day. Every time you think about the day, it's today. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know, it is a sacrifice. We've got to worship and praise. And just to give you some background on praise and on Thanksgiving, you don't have to turn there because it's. I'll just go through it real quick. Leviticus 7, it talks about the sacrifice of praise. It actually goes through the whole regimen of the sacrifice itself about, you know, the what they did to the lambs and, you know, and the altar and who could partake and when they could and all this stuff. And then you would make these sacrifices and you would make it as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And in Leviticus, in chapter 7 there, Thanksgiving is actually a Hebrew word that was, I think it's toda or something like that. Anyway, it actually it's translated Thanksgiving, it's translated praise and offering, and also confession. Okay, so it means you have to speak, right? Okay. It literally refers to like the extension of the hand. So, you know, that might be why a lot of times when you praise and worship it, you raise your hands. In the Old Testament, they raise their hands. They clap, they dance, they sing. So it literally means like the extension of the hand. But it was a thanksgiving that was done because of a sacrifice that was made. And in the New Testament, Jesus was our sacrifice. And because of Jesus, now we give thanks, our sacrifice is of praise, and we give thanksgiving to God for the sacrifice of Jesus that was made. And Jesus is our Lord, and He's our Savior. And so that's one thing that we normally would say when we're giving thanks and praise. We would say, thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior, for saving me, for dying on the cross and dying for my sins. If you look at here in Hebrews, in chapter 15 here, when it talks about, therefore, Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Giving thanks, and this is stuff you have heard in the past, I'm just bringing this back to your remembrance. Giving thanks means, it's in the Greek word, it's the homologia or logia or geo, homologio, whatever, however you pronounce it. I'm not a great scholar. But it just means the same word. When you're giving thanks, you're giving the same word. It also is used when you're talking about confession. And so, you know, in other words, let's say that, which if you'll notice, most of our songs do this, but let's say that you're believing for something, you're believing for a promise that God has given you, and God said something. He said, Fran, I'm your healer, and by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Okay, now, if you're going to give thanks, according to this Greek word here, it says you're going to say the same words. It means you're going to join your faith together with his faith by saying the same things that he said about you. So in essence, you would say, by giving thanks to the sacrifice of praise here, you're saying, Lord, you're my healer. And by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. All you're doing is just saying the same thing that he said, the same promises that he gave you. And so you're saying the same words. You're saying what God says. How many of you know that it is a powerful thing to get a hold of, that you need to speak what God speaks and say what God says about you and about your life and about the situation that you're in or whatever you may be facing? If you're living a great life, everything's going great, will you thank him and praise him for the fact that he has blessed you and that he is going to continue to bless you? When you're down, when you've got things that, you know, the devil's maybe coming against you, well, then you sacrifice the praise again and say that what the word says. You confess what God says and you say the same words that God says about your situation. And God's promises are always what? Yes and amen. He's always going to deliver you. He's always going to be your strong tower. He's always going to be your buckler, your healer, your deliverer. He's going to be that to you, and you just need to get a hold of the fact that you need to praise him and thank him in the midst of those troubles and trials and situations and say what God says. That is the sacrifice of praise. You're acknowledging God, and you're joining up with his cause. You know, everybody, we talk about, you know, well, let's remember the cause. You know, then they're fighting the battle. Back in Texas battle days, they would say, remember the Alamo. What were they talking about? Remember what they did to us? Let's join together forces. Let's group ourselves together and let's fight for the same cause. God's cause is you. God's cause is blessing you and blessing other people. And so what you do when you give the sacrifice of praise, when you offer up continually the sacrifice of praise, you are just saying exactly what God says about you. You're saying the same words. You're agreeing with him. You're saying, you know what, Father God, you're right. That's what's going to happen. You know, your word is true, and I believe it. I'm standing on it, and that's what's going to happen. And again, that word, another order for you to speak that word, it's got to be on the inside of you. And so we know that faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17 it is. In fact, I tell you what, let's turn to Romans real quick. Let's turn to Romans 10. We'll see this with the whites of our eyes. Hallelujah. Y'all, I will have to say, this is not my Bible. My Bible is MIA. I had it Sunday, and I set it down right there on the fourth row from the back. And as we're walking out, I asked my wife, I said, pick that Bible real quick for me. Well, she did. And so I naturally assumed it was in her car, but now we can't find it. So I have one that's almost identical to it. This actually is my video editing Bible. And this Bible here is my friend whenever I'm working. So anyway, so I don't have my, you know, like, I can't turn as fast because the pages are, they don't stick really bad, but I just try to keep this really, you know, in good shape when I'm back there. I try not to mess it up too bad. And I don't write in it because, you know, it's not my study Bible. It's not my, so anyway, forgive me for taking a minute there to find my place. In Romans 10, it says here, you know, this is common scripture. We've heard this over and over again. We're not teaching anything new. We're just reiterating, putting this thing in remembrance and hopefully tying some things together for you. It says here in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're going to get to the faith comes by hearing in just a minute. I want to bring this out. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes, can I hear an amen on that? With the heart one believes, everybody say with the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Say with the mouth. That's right. So you got to believe in your heart, and then you got to confess with your mouth. Amen? And it's and something interesting about this, in the same chapter, it says that faith, so then faith comes by hearing in verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Of course, the reverse is also true. Doubt comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of doubt and the devil and the world. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you hear God's Word, the more it's going to get inside of you. And the Word has always been referred to as seed. You know, the Word of God is seed, and you plant that seed in your life, and it's going to grow, and it's going to produce fruit. And part of the fruit that produces is obviously, you know, needs being met and you being delivered and things of that nature. But part of that fruit is the fact that you're going to have faith, because you're going to hear it, because faith comes by hearing. And a direct connection of faith is confession. You know, we've read this. Let's turn real quick to Corinthians. I believe it's 2 Corinthians. No, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Maybe I have the wrong. I'm in the wrong. See, in the wrong spot again. All right, 2 Corinthians. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Yes, that's where it is, right here. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, how many have you know that this is what's written right here? According to what is written, I have believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Amen. We believe, and then we speak. There again. We believe in our heart, and from our heart, confession then is made, you know, unto salvation, or unto healing, or unto deliverance, or whatever it may be. But it is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. We are confessing, we're giving thanks, we're praising God. You know, if you remember also in, you don't have to turn there, but Philippians 4 talks about how that you don't need to be anxious for anything, but with everything. With prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You pray and then you give thanks. You pray and believe God, and as you believe God, you're going to give thanks. You're going to worship Him. You're going to thank Him. And you know, that's something I mentioned in the beginning of this message too. We talked about how most of our songs, when we're doing praise and worship, most of our songs are talking Scripture. They're talking about what God is going to do for you, and what God's promised you, and how God's going to help you, and He's going to deliver you, and He's going to build you up, and He's never going to let go of you. And you know, we've seen those songs. You know, as orchestra leader, Dr. Burr actually is our song leader. He leads the song service and does all that. But I keep up with you know, coordinating practices and, you know, creating song lists and trying to get new songs going. And one of the things, Dad and I have a discussion quite often about different songs that we like that have a line in them that is not really scriptural. You know, not all the songwriters out there are just exactly like us in the way we believe and the way we confess the Word. And the way we talk the Word. And so, you know, we'll get a song and be, man, it'd be a great song. And you may hear some of these songs on the radio, and there'll be a line there that's different than the way we sing it. That's because we rewrote the song and we changed it to be scriptural, to say what God says. But that's something we're always cautious about. Whenever we're praising and worship, during our praise and worship, our songs are going to be songs that give glory to God, that are magnifying Him, that are putting Him on the pedestal, and they're raising Him up. You know, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Me. And so all of our songs lift Jesus up. They lift up our Father God, and they make Him high and lifted up. They make Him the one that everybody sees and it has their focus on. And by doing that, it draws all people to Him. In your own personal life, in your own, you know, walk with Jesus, in your own daily walk, when you stop and you give praise and worship to God, you make Jesus bigger, and you put Him and you magnify Him. That's you know, David said, let us magnify Him, the Lord, together. Let's magnify the Lord. What does magnify mean? Let's make Him big. Let's make Him great. Well, what do when you make somebody big? In fact, you talk good about somebody, and you even say, well, you know, they're getting the big head. You know, they're not going to be able to walk out that door when he leaves. You know, you've been talking so good about him. Well, God inhabits the praises of His people. And it's a sweet aroma to Him, he loves. He just loves to be talked good about, because what that does for God, it makes Him look good, it makes Him look better, it makes people want to be with Him or to be a part of the family. When you talk about how good God is, it makes people want to be part of that. You know, we have an awesome family. You know, not talking about the Williams family. I'm talking about the family of the blood brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, you know, that are going to heaven, the Christians. We're talking about that family. We have an awesome family. And when you talk good about the family and you talk good about our Father, boy, it makes God so happy, because other people are encouraged by that. And they say, you know what? There is hope. You know, maybe there is an answer out there for me. And it makes them want to enter in and become part of the family. Again, it's a sacrifice of praise that we give. In fact, there's an instance in Acts 16, you know, where Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. You know, there's many instances, we won't go over all of them, but this is one in particular I thought was really neat. Instance where they were thrown in jail, and man, they could have just, you know, said, well, this is the way it goes, you know. And here we are, and we might as well just sleep this thing off, and maybe they'll let us go in the morning, you know. No, they started praising God, praying, and then praising God. And God saw that, and He honored their prayers and their thanksgiving, and He caused a great, you know, shaking of the earth, so much that it shook the very prison that they were in. The shackles fell off, the doors bust open, and something that's interesting about that, because they made that decision, not only were they delivered and they were able to walk out of there unharmed and no problems there, but you know, the jailer was going to kill himself. He looked around, and it's a very serious thing. All these prisoners are getting loose. That's his job, his responsibility. He knew he wasn't going to be good for anything after that. They were probably going to kill him. And so he was going to kill himself. And they stopped him. They said, hey, whoa, wait a second. We're all here. We're all here. Nobody's taking off running. We're all here. It's okay. And subsequently, they led him to the Lord and his family. His family was saved because of the fact that they made a choice to praise God. You know, if they hadn't praised God, well, then probably many of the prisoners that were around wouldn't have heard it. They wouldn't have experienced that great miracle. I'm sure there was probably, you know, unwritten stories about other prisoners probably got saved because of that. I mean, you know, you're in jail and there's a great earthquake and all the shackles fall off and the doors come open. I don't know. That's pretty big. And so, you know, there's probably some other people that were affected by that too. We just don't have a record of it. But we know for sure that there was a family that was saved because of that. And so, you know, they made a choice to make a sacrifice of praise and to offer that up to God. There was, you know, there's also other instances. We talk about King Jehoshaphat, whenever he was, you know, talking to, he had the problems with everybody coming against him. They sent out people in front of the armies. They sent out the praisers in front of the armies. They didn't send out, like, you know, the cavalry or the best archers or the best swordsmen or whatever. They sent out the praise and worship team. You know, they sent out Dr. Burr and Cheryl and Dale and Debbie and Charity and I and Fred, and said, okay, now, I want y'all to go out there and I want y'all to sing a few songs for us. Get us stirred up, get us going, all right? And don't worry about it. God said He'd take care of everything. So y'all just go out there and just worship and praise God. You know, give God the sacrifice of praise, you know. Confess, say the same things that God says about you, you know. Say that, you know, God's our deliverer. He's going to, you know, deliver us out of the hand of the enemy, you know. Say that, you know, he's our provider. And go out there and you just sing some good songs, okay, guys? And don't worry about it. We'll be right behind you, you know, with our swords and everything else. And obviously, you know the story. They went out and they praised and worshiped God. And I'm sure that they probably weren't the only ones that were praising and worshiping. I'm sure that the rest of them fell right in suit and started, you know, praising and worshiping God too. But God sent ambushments against the other, you know, all the people that came against them, and they didn't have to even fight. And they defeated the whole other armies. They actually just wiped themselves out. Probably from a little confusion, for one. They probably didn't know the songs. They didn't have the overheads then. And so when they started asking each other, you know, what it was, and they couldn't speak each other's language, and they probably started arguing and fighting, you know, over that. And they might not have liked the songs either, so they probably were real upset. But anyway, they were defeated, and it took them 3 days to pick up the spoils of all the people that were killed in those armies. simply because some people decided to go out and praise God and worship Him and give Him the sacrifice of praise. And that's a good example, because in your life, you know, we only fight the fight of faith. We don't have to literally fight the devil or fight, you know, sickness with, you know, like a boxer does in a ring. We just simply have to believe God. And we have to know what the Word says. We have to know what His promises are in order to say the same things that He would say, you know, confess those things. And when we do that and we give the sacrifice of praise and worship and praise Him for being our deliverer, our healer, or whatever it may be, that is the only fight that we have to fight. Because God has already won the victory. He's already won the battle. And so our part to play is just to believe God. And again, faith and confession go hand in hand. So when you believe God, you're going to speak and you're going to say, you know, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for healing my body. You know, thank you, Father God, for meeting my needs and helping me pay this bill or that bill, you know, this week or this month, whatever it may be. Thank you, Father God, for giving me joy in a time that I seem down and depressed and I don't have any happiness. Thank you, Father God, you said that you would give me joy, that your joy would be my strength. And if I praise and worship you, Father God, you know, you said that in your presence was fullness of joy. So I'm just going to praise you, Father God. I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to get in your presence, and I'm going to be filled with joy, and I'm not going to have any worries. I'm not going to have any doubts about what's going to happen, you know, today or tomorrow, the next day. I'm going to thank you, Father God, that you're taking care of me, that you're my provider, and you're my healer, you're my deliverer, and you're my peace giver. And it's just as simple and easy as that. You know the Word. You've got the Word inside of you. And if you don't, you can get it inside of you. It's not that hard. And just say with continually, you know, in Hebrews 13, I'll tell you real quick, let's close out with this scripture, and then I want to read you one little thing here. In Hebrews 13, if you backed up there, and it says in verse 6, verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness, but content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I know Dad's talked along these lines in talking about faith and confession and those things. And again, I'm not trying to re-preach that message. I'm just trying to tie some of this together in the line of sacrifice of praise, fruit of our lips, giving praise here. But confession, thanksgiving, saying what God says, you know, agreeing with God. Here it says, for He Himself, God Himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, so we may boldly say, everybody say boldly. Everybody say we.
We.
Now everybody say me.
Me.
That's right, me. So me may say, may boldly say, it says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. I quote some of the King James sometimes too. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, God says it, so I can boldly say it. God says it, so that I can say the same thing, so I can have a confession here of faith. I'm gonna say the same word, you know, homologia, geo, whatever. The same word. I'm going to say the same thing that God said about me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm going to boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I'm not going to fear. What can man do to me? What can he do to me? God's for me. Who can be against me? Greater is He that's inside of me than he that's in the world. So God says it. He says in His Word, and that's what I want, you know, obviously the key to this whole thing is you've got to get inside the Word and find out what God says about you and your situation. And I know I say that all the time whenever I'm ministering, but you've got to find that on the inside, you know, get this on the inside of you. Get the Word inside of you. Find out what it says, because it is definitely a crutch that you can lean on in a time of trouble. Is, you know, and I know this happens to you because it happens to me, I'm sure. Everybody has the same thing. You know, you're talking and you don't think you know certain scriptures and you don't know certain, you know, verses or words. But you get to talking to somebody and they're, you know, you're talking about it. you know, trial or tribulation you're going through, whatever that they may go through, and the words just kind of come, pop in your hand. The word just, the verses just kind of start coming up. Well, it's because it's on the inside of you. And obviously the Holy Ghost is going to be there to help you bring that to your remembrance and is going to remind you of those things. And those scriptures are going to pop. And I can just, we can sit down and start talking about something. And if I was sitting there trying to remember all the scriptures, you know, that would have come into my head at that time, I couldn't do it right then. But if I was sitting there talking to somebody, we're talking about the Word, we're getting excited about this, and you know, we're saying, boy, you know what God says about, oh, you know what? I remember God says this, and you know, in this chapter, this book, or what, it will come back to your remembrance. Just get it on the inside of you, and it will come up. There's one. I'm going to read this to you. In studying for this message, I actually read some other. Well, that's not going to help us. That's a blank page there. This is the one I want to read. There was a interesting. Article. It's kind of like a daily bread type message, you know, where they do like a message a week or something, you know, or they do it daily or whatever, and somebody posted up. And so anyway, I just happened to come across this, and I thought this was really interesting. They actually were talking about praising, you know, they were talking about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Nisi and Jehovah Rapha, you know, I forget all the different ones. There's several of them. But anyway, basically it's just a different things that God is to you. He's your shepherd. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. You know, he's your savior, all those things. So anyway, they created a little prayer that I thought was kind of neat. And it basically just went through those things without mentioning, you know, all the actual Hebrew, I guess, names of those are. It says, "Dear Lord," I'll just read this to you. "Dear Lord, I bring you the sacrifice of praise. You are my provider, taking care of all my needs according to the riches of your glory. You are my healer, taking away my sickness and pains, healing me, spirit, soul, and body. You are my banner, giving me the victory in all things. You are my sanctifier, cleansing me and setting me apart for sweet fellowship with you. You are my peace, trading my brokenness and strife for your wholeness and well-being. You are my shepherd, leading and protecting me, feeding my hunger, quenching my thirst, restoring my soul. You are my righteousness, taking away my sin, giving me all the blessings of heaven. You are the Lord who is there, and I will never be alone, without a helper, without a friend, for you are always with me. Jesus, you are my Lord. I love you. I can give myself to you. I open my lips to offer you thanks and praise. I worship and adore and confess your sweet name, Jesus. Amen." Isn't that good?
Yes.
That is good. And see, that's all it is. All that he did there when he made this little prayer is he just took little scriptures, just little things out of the scripture. I mean, it's exactly what the word says. "You're my provider, taking care of all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Okay, we know that one. "You're my healer, taking away my sickness and pains and healing me." You know, we talked about some healing scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24. "You're my sanctifier and peace." You know, we talk. There's peace. It says in Philippians, we talked about in Philippians 2, where it talks about how that, if you read on to that scripture, I didn't finish it, but it says, "With everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ." The peace that passes your understanding. Which is a good scripture to use whenever you know you've experienced maybe a death in your family or you know, a loss that you know you don't see how you could have peace. That's the kind of peace he gives, the peace that passes your understanding and knowledge. "You are my shepherd." You know, I'm sure that probably some of this comes leading and protecting me, feeding my hunger, quenching my thirst, restoring my soul. Those are all from Psalm 23. Anyway, so that's all it takes is just saying the same word. Saying the same word, saying what God says. And you'll be offering up a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. And you will be lifted up and you will be encouraged. And it will help you because you hear yourself the most. If you will actually give thanks and praise, it'll stir you up to believe even more. And you will come through and God will do what he said. Amen.